Welcome to Teachers in Business. I'm Sarah Torvey, and I help former teachers just like you translate your best skills, your teaching skills, from the classroom into the business world so that you can grow a more successful and more profitable full-time business right now. Listen on to learn more. Welcome to Teachers in Business. So this week, we're going to talk about how to be your own coach. Having a coach is great, really. For me, it's been an essential part of business. It's been absolutely vital. But I think it's also essential to know how to be your own coach, because even if you have a coach, it's an hour a week, and you have to figure out how to manage yourself and your thoughts and all the things in between. Becoming your own coach is learning how to see when and how you're in your own way. It's learning to give yourself feedback that allows you to grow, just like you'd give a student or a colleague or a friend who came to you for help. So this week, I'm going to teach you the handful of simple steps that you need to start coaching yourself right now. The reason we're talking about this week is one of the things I've noticed about my most successful clients is that one of the things that they learn from working together is how to coach themselves in between sessions. They learn how to see their own issues, to identify them, to see their doubts and their worries and their fear for what they are, and to just really notice what's happening in their own minds. They learn how to use coaching and the tools and techniques that we use together on their own so that they can grow even faster. And this is what I'm going to teach you to do this week, to do for yourself. Maybe you have worked with a coach before and maybe not. That doesn't matter. This is still something you can do. So for me, there are four ingredients required to being your own coach. The first ingredient is a tiny pocket of time, quiet. For me, when I first started really learning to coach myself, this pocket was like 10 minutes, maybe 15. At this point, a couple years into really concentrating on building these muscles, I give myself 20 to 30 minutes most days, but I worked up to that over time. The second ingredient is pen and paper. And listen, I hate to be the one to tell you that you have to journal, because I have all the same thoughts about journaling. When people say journaling, like, part of me is like, ooh, pretty notebooks. And the other part of me is like, oh my God, I don't have time. It sounds painful. It's not fun. I'm not a 12-year-old. I don't want to write down all my feelings. But listen, I get it. And in this case, what I'm advocating for is not like 12-year-old write down all your angst. The version of journaling that I really advocate for is very specific. It's very targeted. It's very manageable. And into that targeted, manageable bite is magic. But before we like get to how that actually works, we're going to get the other ingredients. So ingredient number three is a good question to write from, or more than one. And there are lots of like thinking prompts out there. Good questions for me are ones that help you go like, oh, or whoa is something I write in my own journal all the time. I'll write something down and then I'll just write whoa next to it because it like fell out of my brain. And you think like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I was thinking that. Like, yikes. They are questions that allow you to pull things out of yourself that you didn't know were there, that were sort of like hiding in the weeds in your mind. I'm going to share with you some of my favorite questions and a resource if you want access to it. But also know that it's not something you have to have a special set of to create. You have good questions in your brain. Teachers are trained questioners. And really, you're just thinking about what you'd ask someone else if they came to you for this kind of advice and help. Like, what would you ask them? Ask yourself. The other thing I would note here is that good questions and journaling and the next ingredient are never tools of self-destruction. This is why people avoid journaling, right? This is not where you come to tell yourself you're doing a crappy job. Like, think about that advice again. You're using questions that you would ask someone else, but you're also never going to tell that person that came to you for advice, honestly and out of curiosity, that they're a terrible person. You're not going to tell a student that, you know, they're never going to make it. They're not doing a good job. They're, you know, they don't know how to answer the questions. All their answers are bad. You're not going to tell them that stuff. So when you use these questions for yourself, think about how you would treat someone else and then treat yourself that way. You want to bring kindness and compassion, informative feedback for yourself, not, you know, self-flagellation, basically. The last ingredient, number four, is honest curiosity. And it is both the most obvious and the most unlikely or most likely to be left behind ingredient. I know it sounds kind of hinky, but it's the truth. You can certainly come to writing and coaching yourself without curiosity, but it's not going to work as well and it's going to hurt. So maybe we don't do it like that. Okay, so collect your pen and paper. I'm going to share some questions. Bring your curiosity, stick it in your pocket. Here's how it works. Clear yourself 10 minutes. Any 10 minutes, mine tend to be in the morning because I find writing at the very end of the day just to be impossible. Some people do it at night. Some people do it to start the day. Give yourself 10 minutes. And if you're feeling like anything but this, that's fine. I actually started when I started doing this with 7 minutes. For whatever reason, that seemed like a really doable amount for me. And so I set a timer for 7 minutes. You're going to open your notebook, you're going to grab your pen, and you're going to write the question at the top of a page. For me, I always use a smaller notebook, like a 5x7 one. And my rule has always been, and still is years into this, that when I get to the bottom of the page, when I get to the end of the page, or when the timer goes off, that I can be finished if I want. Early on in learning to coach myself, a lot of the time I was done. I was like, close the notebook, peace out, I'm over this. Over time, I've built up the muscles and I've gotten a little more stamina. So, you know, however you want to start, just start. If it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever, that's okay. Whatever you do is the thing you need to do. So here's the thing. On to some questions. To be able to coach yourself, you're really just, as I said before, asking the same kinds of questions you'd ask someone else. These are the way you do your own thinking, and they are relatively open-ended. So here are some of my favorites. There's one I use a lot that came from my first coach. Her name is Samantha Siffring. And it was this: on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident do I feel about, most of the time, blank. Most of the time right now, I fill in my current goal. How confident do I feel about my current goal? Why is it that number? Like, why did I give it a 2? And then what would I have to think or feel or do to be a 10? One of the other interesting things that my current coach, her name is Simone Soule, added into this set of questions for me is when you give yourself the score, so like on a scale of 1 to 10, say I give myself a 2 and my confidence, why is it not a 0? Because sometimes like knowing you're not at the very bottom is kind of really helpful for me. It's like, why not a 0 and why not a 10? And what do you have to think to get to a 10? Another question that I use a lot is, what's possible today? I really like plugging into possibility and into like what way more is possible than I think. I don't limit it to just work things. I think like, well, I might chat with a friend today. I might reconnect with somebody I haven't seen in a while. I might make my kids laugh. I might meet someone new that will become a client. I might sign a new client. There's all kinds of things, just whatever comes to mind. Another question I ask a lot is, what am I feeling about my business today and my work? Like, am I feeling tired? Am I feeling frustrated? And what am I feeling like energized? What are all the things I'm feeling and why? Another one is, what is the value of what I do? Like, for me, it says the question is often, what is the value of a coach? And then what is my value, my Sarah value in that role? And what is the impact of what I do on others? Like, I don't always get to know that. My clients walk away sometimes and they don't tell me what they're doing the other, you know, however many hours in the week all the time. They give me the broad strokes, but they don't always tell me the actual impact. And then I have two more. One is, what am I resisting or avoiding or not leaning into right now? And how can I be curious about it? Sometimes when I ask myself this, the answer comes right away, like a snap. And I think like, oh, you know what I'm not doing? I'm avoiding people or whatever. And then the last one is, what am I afraid of right now? And what would happen if it happened? Sometimes I find it really useful to consider, you know, like, what's the worst thing that could happen? And probably I won't die from it, which is really interesting, right? And then you kind of go like, oh, well, actually, I've already failed miserably at things in other parts of my life, and I didn't die, and I'm still here growing, and okay. I was just telling someone the story the other day about when I was coaching teachers, I would start really regularly in new school buildings. And so I had to be the one at the start of the year, like meeting everybody the first day with all the kids and whatever. And one year, you know, everybody's standing outside in front of the building, getting ready for the first day of school, the kids and their parents trying to come in and get ready. And as that was happening, I was brand new. I parked my car, and it was years ago. It was like 15 years ago now. Brand new, parked my car, locked my keys in it, tried to open the door, not knowing it. I was like, oh, I forgot my keys. Didn't realize I locked it. Set off the alarm. Had to be the brand new person working at that school, standing outside the first day of school with like every student in the building and their parents, setting off car alarm. And then I had to walk into the building and be like, hey, my name is Sarah. I'm new here. I work in this building now. Can I use your phone to call my husband to bring my spare key? And it was like, oh God. And you know, I didn't die from that. So we're all going to be okay. And then, so if these questions are good, like often I use the same question for a month or every day for a while. You can use that approach, or you can change every day. For me, I'm kind of lazy in some ways, so I don't like having to think up a new question every day. I like the idea that I can ask the same thing over and over and still learn new things about myself. So I have boatloads of questions where these came from. Teachers are trained questioners, but I have a really useful freebie called 30 Essential Questions that I created out of a Facebook challenge in my group that was in December, and I'm happy to share it. So it's in my Facebook group, which is Teachers in Business, in the files section if you want to come join us, or you can just send me an email. It's sarah@torpycoaching.com, and I'm happy to share it. So when you're writing, your job is really to be curious. When I was working with Samantha and learning to do this, she used to tell me that my job in writing was to write until I felt an emotional shift in a positive direction. And that's always my goal. My goal is to end going like, oh, okay. Or like, oh, I feel better. Like, I want to uncover some things. I want to question what's happening, and I want to be curious. And really, that's it. And this is coaching yourself. That's it. Like, there's nothing more to it than that. Everyone can do this. And it's magic. So the magic is really in doing this regularly. I actually still don't do this every single day. I often don't do it on weekends. And then I find that I need like a half hour on Monday mornings because I haven't been there in a while, to sort of think more clearly. And so I've really structured my business now to give myself that time on Monday mornings, because I know I need it. This is how you practice getting your thoughts onto paper and seeing that sometimes what you're thinking doesn't actually make a ton of sense. You know, where you say it out loud to somebody and you're like, oh, wait, actually, that's not a problem that I thought it was. Doing that on paper has the same effect. Sometimes what's going on isn't real related to your experience. You write it down, you're like, what? That's not real. I do that all the time, where I write something and think like, oh, no, that's not going to happen. Okay, wait, I was worried about something that doesn't exist. Or you walk away and think like, oh, it's super clear now. I have it. But this is how you see what's happening, what's in your way, what's actually possible. And that's really it. So I would love to know how this goes for you as you start to practice this. Feel free to shout me out and tell me how it's going. And listen, for me, being my own coach is vital. But as I said at the start, so is having an actual coach that I pay. there really, like, I can coach myself, but there is no replacement for having another set of eyes in your business, in your work, that can see things that aren't making sense way faster than you. Like, I get to stay plugged into what's possible for my clients, but without carrying any of their emotional baggage. And that makes it a lot easier to see what's going on. Like, I don't have the fog of worry and fear that they have for their business. In being able to spend an hour in a week, having someone do that with you is worth its weight in gold. Honestly, it's something I will always pay for. So here's the thing. Even if you're not 100% sure about hiring me or a coach, I know that I wasn't the first time. It's funny. Someone asked me the other day about my first experience. And the reason I ended up talking with her is because I thought, like, I'm in my own way. Let me just see how this could work. Even if it's just out of curiosity that you have a conversation, that's good enough. And the thing is an initial call like I do with people doesn't mean you have to say yes. There's no pressure to do that. If it's a good fit and you want to, super. And if it's not and you're ready to do other things, that's okay too. But no matter what, when we have an initial conversation, you walk away clearer. What I do with people in those conversations is give them, like, it's like shining a magnifying glass on where they're going. It's like one of the ways I describe it a lot is taking a 16-lane highway that you're driving on and you're trying to get where you're going and reducing it down to a 2-lane road that's like a nice, gentle straightaway. It would be really nice to get off the highway and get onto a nice country road, wouldn't it? So that is what we do in the first hour. And there's no commitment to move forward. If you'd like to do that and get some clarity, even if you're just curious about how this works, send a message on Facebook or LinkedIn, send an email, or just go to my website, which is torpycoaching.com, and book a time to chat. I would love to connect. So from there, happy coaching. Have a great week.